Praise the Lord. God bless you. We thank you for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry. I'm Elder Mary Ellis, and I just want to thank you all for being a part of our morning Bible study each and every Sunday morning following our worship experience. And we just look forward to this time together. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of study. And it's a time just to be able to reach out, and because of the environment, the season that we're in, and touch one another in a virtual way. So thank God for this chance. Thank God for this opportunity. We don't take it lightly. And so if you are listening to this at a later date, we want to say to you, thank you. And we pray and hope that you receive just what you need as you have tuned in and joined us here at the Queen's Ministry. We're going to open up with prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. We're starting on the third part, the third leg of our trilogy series on God's love. We talked about His grace. We talked about His mercy. And now we're going to look at His love through forgiveness. And so today, as you have joined with us, we want to focus a little bit more on God's love and how it is seen in His forgiveness of us and what we are to do with it and how we are to share it. Amen. Let's go to the throne room this morning and ask God, invite Him into this setting. Father, we thank You. We praise Your name. We ask that You would be with us on today. We thank You for the gathering of the saints. We thank You, Lord God, for this opportunity, this time. We do pray, Lord God, Your presence in our midst. And as we have come together, Lord, we just ask that You would bless us in a mighty, mighty way. Only the way You can, God, because when You bless us, we will, Lord God, be satisfied. We will be blessed. Yes, we will, because You do great and mighty things on our behalf. Now, Father, we ask again that You open up our hearts and our minds so we may be receptive to all that You have. We're praying today, God, that You would use us in a mighty way. And Lord God, that You will give us clarity of speech, clarity of thought, and present this message in a way that we all can be blessed and get something from it. Now, continue to watch over us. And even those, Lord God, that may receive this at a later date, we do pray Your blessings over their lives. We thank You again. Have Your way, O God. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Alrighty, saints, praise God for this day. And again, we want to say to you, thank you for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry. Thank you for being a part of our morning Bible study fellowship. We begin today by sharing with you the third part of our lesson on God's love and forgiveness. And our verse that we want to lift in your hearing this morning is found in Psalms 86 and 5. And it says, You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to You. Wow, that verse is loaded. I'm thinking of, and for those of you that like potatoes, like I like potatoes, when you go to the restaurant, sometimes they have a potato on the menu that's called a loaded potato. And with that potato, it's got everything in it. Sometimes it's cheese, sometimes it's meat, sometimes it's vegetables, sometimes it's other toppings that you can put on it. And it is called a loaded potato because if you pull it apart, you will pull out so many pieces and segments. Well, that's how that verse is to me. It is a loaded verse. Oh my goodness, if we were to take time and break out all the pieces and parts of this verse, we would truly see the message in Psalms 86 and 5. Let's just take a few moments. I'm not going to dwell on it because we're going to talk about it more in as we go through our lesson. But just on the surface, looking at this verse, what do we see? Lord, You are forgiving. The Lord our God forgives us. That's first and foremost in that verse right there that we can hold on to and be thankful for, that God forgives. Write that down somewhere. Just write it down so that it never leaves your memory bank, because once you put it down in print, it kind of etches in your brain and it's stuck there. So write down that the Lord forgives. Secondly, it says right there, I'm reading again from the verse, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Anybody want to praise God today? I know we can't hear one another right now, but you can certainly send out in the atmosphere a praise to our God who is good. Amen. And then that next item there says He abounds. That means He is full of. He is limitless. He has an abundance of love. Oh my goodness. He does not hold back when it comes to love. He gives to all that is willing to receive. He abounds in love. Remember last week we even talked about that God is love. So out of that love, he shares. So he has an abundance. Oh my, didn't I tell y'all this was a loaded verse? Yes. And then finally, just again, we just picking out the ones that are laying there on top. He gives all of that love to who? Those that call on him. Amen. So when we call on the Lord, we receive so much from him. Again, we just want to thank God today for his goodness, for his loving kindness, and for his forgiveness. And right there we see it as we start off our lesson today on God's love and forgiveness. We see Psalms 86 and 5 undergirding that statement and causing us to rejoice even before we get any deeper into our lesson. Let's move on. God's love. Well, anybody, everybody, somebody should be able to tell me what John 3:16 says. Come on, let's all recite it again. I know we can't hear one another, but you can speak it into the atmosphere. Come on, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 says it all. Yes, it does. It sums up to, in my estimation, in my thought, it sums up the Bible's core premise or a core theme, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son to redeem, to reconcile, to forgive, and to restore us back to himself. Let me repeat that again. John 3:16 says to me that God so loved the world that he gave his only son to redeem, to reconcile, to forgive, and to restore us back to himself. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to thank God today for his love on today. Somebody ought to thank God today for Jesus. Because of Jesus, we can be redeemed. Amen. And so when we hear the preacher man or the preacher woman say to the congregation, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, you can count yourself in that group, in that mix, because you have been redeemed, hallelujah, by his blood. What's redeemed? Well, you've been brought with a price. You've been brought back. The illustration we can use is if you ever had to take something of value because of a need to a pawn shop and give that piece or that item to the owner of the pawn shop, and he or she in return gives you payment for that item for you to use forever, whatever that need may be. And then when you get able to overcome your need and you get to a place where you have the funds, you go back to that same pawn shop and you redeem or you buy back that item that you sold to the dealer. Well, that's what Jesus did for us. He redeemed us. He paid the penalty on our behalf. Oh, because we know today that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Come on here. And so Jesus redeems us. And then also we see that he reconciles us. He stands in the gap for us. He is our passageway to be in fellowship and relationship with God the Father. And we know, we just saw it in 86 and 5, Psalms 86 and 5, that he forgives us. There's forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Amen. And then he restores us back to himself through his son. Oh my goodness. We thank God today for God's abounding in love to all who call on him. Amen. And as we've shared in previous lessons about God's mercy and about God's grace, we're going to talk today about God's love and forgiveness. And we see that these are all characteristics of the one true God. And they function in connection with one another as he sits as sovereign. That's right, he's ruler. Hallelujah, he's head. As he sits as sovereign on the throne of heaven, amen, he execute his love through his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness. Amen. Praise God. And we may not always understand it. Oh, true that, somebody. But we're thankful today that he doesn't withhold it when we cry out unto him. So the mystery of our triune God, he weaves all these attributes together in what one would say is a beautiful tapestry or mosaic piece of redemption and restoration for all of us. All of us. Amen. Again, he puts it all together and he's tying it all together to back to redemption and salvation and restoration for all of us. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Please, everyone, mute your phone at this time. We're getting background noise. Hit *6 or mute your individual phone so that the airway can be clear. Amen. Thank God. So we see we have to aim to show these three lessons. We have aimed to show these three lessons of these series that we've been talking about, that God's mercy, God's grace, and his forgiveness, it flows out of his great love for us. That's where, again, where it's coming from. Going back to Psalms 86:5, he abounds in love. He has a deep, never-ending well of love to give out to those that want to receive it. Amen. Part one in your lesson, let's go to your lesson part one area, and it says here, God loves us. Amen, somebody. One of God's most enduring characteristic is his love. Well, we're just repeating that. We said it repeatedly earlier, but I just want to get that into our thought pattern or our thought process so that we can understand that, because someone has said on many occasions, when we really understand God's love, when we really get a hold to the fact that God loves us, and we see that he just doesn't love us with a little bit of love, he loves us with a great abundance of love, when we can take hold of that thought. Oh my goodness, where do you think we can go with that? I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit about that thought when we open the lines of today. So begin to think on that. I want to put out to you this thought. How do you feel about God loving you so? Well, what are you talking about? Well, let's break it down even a little bit further. He loves us. Get this. Remember I said it's an abundant love, a great love. He loves us unconditionally. No holes, no strings attached. He loves us because he wants to love us, because he is love. He loves us eternally. Eternally, everlastingly, always. That's right. He loves us forever. Oh my goodness. Get excited. Somebody get excited. He loves us eternally, everlastingly. Father, we thank you today for always giving us your love, a taste of your love. And then he loves us faithfully. That's right. He's loyal with his love. He's not sometimey turning it on and off. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. We even do it ourselves. That's right. When somebody get to a point that they don't got on our last nerve, don't even have to be our last nerve, just get on our nerves. We sometimes pull back or turn off our love if they really did something that we don't like. Well, we can walk away as if they don't mean anything anymore to us. And we sometimes don't even want to show loyalty in our love. Amen. If somebody else come along that we think is better, well, we just move on like it's all right, but not with our God. He loves us faithfully. He loves us with a loyalty that he's going to hang in there with us, going with us through the thick and the thin, going with us through the hard times as well as the good times. He's there because he doesn't change in that regard. He doesn't change his love. Amen, somebody. And he loves us because he wants to love us. Remember that. Amen. And then he loves us compassionately. Oh my goodness, how wonderful. That means he loves us with this deep concern for us, a willingness to help us, a willingness to bless us, a willingness to give what we need to help us with our desires, to help us, as Bishop even pointed out, with our dreams. Amen. Sometimes he even plants those dreams in us. Amen. So that we can receive the purpose and destiny for our lives. We can get an idea where God wants us to go. But he does that because he compassionately loves us. He cares for us. He wants the best for us. Amen. And so it's not a light kind of love where you just say it, but it is a love that is full of love and grace and mercy toward those that's willing to receive it. And then finally on our sheet, we see that he loves us greatly. Well, we see that because his love is full. His love is deep. His love is so vast. Amen. That the word says is abounding. Amen. And again, if we go back to what we know from the Bible about God, is that God is love. So, of course, that's how he loves us. Amen. He loves us with an everlasting love, an unconditional love, a love that is faithful, a love that is compassionate, and a love that is caring and is greatly. Oh, my goodness. And so I want to say to you today, how do you feel about God loving you? So that's what I want you to share with us when we open the lines at the end of our session on today. And if you are listening at a later date, think about, how do you feel about God loving us? So those items we just listed for you, how he loves us with unconditional love, eternally, faithfully, compassionately, and greatly. How do you feel about that? What does that do for you in your relationship with God? And then think on this. What are the words would you add to the list? What other words would you add to that list of God loving you in such a manner? Do you think that we could even enhance the list any further? Well, those are two of the items, glory to God, I want our members of our study time to share with us on today. What do you think about God loving you in such a great way? I don't know about you all, but I am thankful. Yes, I am. Because of his great love, because he loves me so compassionately, I can get a sense of that I belong to him. Amen. Oh, thanks be to God. You know how it is in your home. Let's take it down to the natural. When your mom and your dad or whoever raised you, whoever was your guardian, loved you in such a way where they helped you, they supported you, they encouraged you, they took care of you, they provided for you, then you get a sense of belonging, a sense of being connected, a sense of feeling like, oh my goodness, I am the right place. Amen. And when that love, glory to God, was pure and genuine, then you just, oh my goodness, you just felt like there was no better place to be. And that's why we have sometimes such fond memories of our earlier days when we look back how God used our parents or our guardians to show forth his love. And that's what he does sometimes. He'll shine through those. Amen. Just like he'll shine through us to use us to show forth his love. That's why, again, referencing our pastor thought today about dreaming. Does God want to use you to show forth his love? Is there a project or something that he wants to you to begin to initiate so that he can show forth his love? Amen. He can use you, glory to God, to serve someone else. The word of God says, and I may have already used this verse in your hearing, but the word of God says, glory to God, that each one of us have been given gifts, glory to God, and get this, not to use them just for ourselves, but to administer them to serve others, amen, and to administer them, glory to God, faithfully, as God has used us to show forth his grace in so many varied ways. So you have a gift. That's right. That's the first thing you need to know. You have a gift. There is something in you that God has poured into you for you to use for his glory. And then you are to use that gift, not just for yourself, but to serve others. And then you are to do that faithfully, being do that in a way or a sense that you're honoring God and thanking God for the gift, that you're not withholding it because you don't feel like using it today. You're not withholding it because you don't like somebody. You're not withholding it because you're not getting the pay you think you deserve. No, you are faithfully administering that very gift to honor God and to bring glory, and so that you can help somebody. Amen. Your creativity may be a blessing, glory to God, not only to benefit you in a way financially or some other kind of way, but also to bless somebody else. So let's be open and willing to let God use us in the gifts that He has given us. And sometimes we look for these grand gifts. I know all of us want to sing, myself included. We all want these great voices so we can sing like our elder Tiara Hawkins, who does a wonderful job here at the Queen's Ministry. But that may not be our gifts. And all of us may think about, well, I want to preach like our Pastor Bishop. Oh, like Bishop Luther. Oh, sometimes that's not our gift in either. And some of us think, I want to do this and do that. But what has God really given you that you find strength in? That's what you need to look at. Some of us are great cooks. Does God want to use your ability to cook to bless somebody else? Maybe you can use your cooking skills to work with others to feed the hungry, feed those that unfortunately can't do right now for themselves, to feed somebody that is in need of a meal, to even bless the children or the congregation. Glory to God. Oh, there are so many ways that God can use you, because God is, again, He has unlimited abilities, and He shows forth that in His people. But we just got to be willing to let Him use us for His glory. Amen. I'm going to stop right there and let you think about it for a little while and say, Lord, what is my gift? Where do you want me to be used for your purpose? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to this verse here, 1 John 4:8. Amen. When you have it, just say to yourself, don't speak out, because I still hear some people speaking out. Look at your phone. Is it mute? And look at your phone and see whether you're on *6, because I still hear some individuals talking out loud. But anyway, go to 1 John 4:8. Go to 1 John 4:8, if you will. I'm going to read it in your hearing. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. So it may sound a little different than what you're reading. But 1 John 4:8 says, "But anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. Anyone who does not know God anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. We need to take that to heart and really truly stand on that, and then think about this. How do we see His love in our lives? How do we see His love in the lives of other individuals? How do we see His love in the earth realm? How do we see His love being manifested not only in our lives, but in the lives of others? 1 John 4:10. You can stay right there. 1 John 4:10 says that, 4:10 says that this is real love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. Let me repeat that. 1 John 4:10 says, this is real love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Oh my goodness, we just talked about that earlier, didn't we? He is the one that was willing to sacrifice His life on our behalf, and we are just be thankful. So how do we see his love? Here's one of the answers to that question. We love because he first loved us. That's how we're able to love, saints. We love because he first loved us. In your lesson, you have a place to write that down. And so let me encourage you to do that. How do we see his love? We answer by knowing we love because he first loved us. Let's go to our next verse, and that's 1 Peter 1 and 18. 1 Peter 1 and 18 says, give me one moment here. 1 Peter 1 and 18 says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose its value. 19 says it was the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So, how do we see his love? Well, such is the extent of God's love that he sent his only son to do what? And we just talked about that earlier. To redeem us from our sins. Let me repeat that. Again, you have a space on your worksheet to insert the answer to the question. How do we see his love? He sent his son, his only son, to redeem us from our sins. Amen. Praise God. Yes, that's what you want to write down in your space there, that he sent his son to redeem us from our sins. Let's go to the next one, answering the question, how do we see his love? 1 John 3:16 says, 1 John 3:16 is very similar to John 3:16, but here it is. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Well, how do we see God's love? Answer on C is, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ, God's Son, write down, laid down his life for us all. Let me repeat that. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ, God's Son, laid down his life for us all. Amen. He laid down his life for us all. That's how we know. That's how we see God's love. Amen. He laid down his life for us all. Let's go to that last one there in response to the question, how do we see his love? We go into Romans 5:8, and it reads like this: but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Oh my goodness, isn't that great, y'all? God sent his son Jesus, not when we were good and on our best behavior, but while we were still sinners. So Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let me repeat that. While we were still sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We ought to be thankful today that he didn't wait till we got it together. Because for some of us, that would not happen. Amen? For some of us, that would not happen. All right. Well, let's try to get to item number 3. And then we'll stop right there and give everybody a chance to say hello. But I'm just going to give you the list. And so this is saying, how do we respond to God's love? We see that it's great, it's full, is outpouring to us, and we see we love because he first loved us. We see his love because he redeemed us from our sins. We see his love because he was willing to lay down his life for us. We see his love because while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so our response, number three, to his love should be one, A, with humility. We should be humble. That's right. We should be thankful and humble. Oh my goodness. B, we should have repentance. That's right. We should want to repent. Three, we should also have a love for him. So it should be a mutual thing. It should be not only he's pouring out, but we should be giving back to him. So it should be a mutual love. And four, D, we should have reverence or respect for God because he's God. Amen? And then line item E, we should be thankful. Huh. So how should we respond? Let me repeat the list. We should be humble, or we should show forth humility. We should show forth repentance, willing to change our hearts, our ways, our mindset. We should show forth mutual love, meaning love him back as he loves us. We should have reverence for him, fear or respect because he is God. Oh my goodness. And then we should be thankful. Yes, we should be thankful. And we're going to stop right there and pick up next week with section number four. But we're going to end with our response to God's love. Hallelujah. And cause us to think a little bit more in our own lives. How are we responding to God's love? I pray you've been blessed today by what we shared. And again, our lesson is focused on God's love seen in forgiveness. And we're going to go through this lesson talking about how greatly God loves us. And so I want to thank you again for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry. And I pray that you've been blessed by the word on today. Father, continue to have your way in our lives is our prayer. Indeed, we thank you now for all that you do. We pray your blessings over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.